Today's scripture is from 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and to testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete.
Thank you, Jared. Good morning again. So they called them and charged them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard." We cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. This is such a compelling statement. Last week, Robin introduced to us what's going on in the lives of the apostles in the weeks that follow Jesus' resurrection and his ascension into heaven. You see, the apostles had been following and listening to Jesus as he told them that all of this was going to take place. He told them about the resurrection. He told them that he was the Son of God. But when Jesus really was resurrected from the grave, and he really did ascend into heaven, this truth that the apostles had heard was no longer an idea. It became a reality. And under the power and under the authority of Jesus, the apostles began taking that truth, the truth, to all who would listen. In this series and at different times throughout this year, we'll be taking a deeper look at what it really means to be a witness of the truth. That word witness is often used to describe someone who is an eyewitness in a court of law. It's also used in church circles to describe someone who might be sharing their testimony or even the preaching. But to be a witness, to be an eyewitness, is much more than sharing your testimony. It's much more than preaching. It's a lifestyle. It's something that as Christians we have to begin to embody. What was it like in the church in those early days following the resurrection and the ascension? In the early days of the Christ-following movement, full of people who were eyewitnesses of the flesh of Christ. And what responsibility did they have as eyewitnesses? As we look at the apostles, we're also going to be looking at ourselves. What responsibility do we have as eyewitnesses? Even though we didn't see Jesus in the flesh, there is no doubt that we have heard and seen the truth, that we have heard and seen something that's worth sharing. This morning, we're going to look at what Peter and John actually saw and what they actually heard. What was it that was so compelling that they couldn't help but talk about it? Join me this morning at the beginning of Acts as we witness the truth at work in the lives of the believers. Let's look back at the beginning of the book, starting in chapter 1. So when the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" They're still thinking in earthly terms. And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." And when Jesus said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into the heavens as he went away, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come to you in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." As if the truth hasn't already been made clear enough by the apostles looking at Jesus after the crucifixion, in the flesh, walking and talking, after being brutally murdered on the cross. They now witness Jesus lifted up on a cloud into the heavens. Surely this is the Son of God. The funny moment that happens in this scene is what happens after he is ascended. The apostles are standing around in the field and they're looking up at the empty sky, maybe with their mouths open wide, like, what did we just see? And these two men who appear to be angels are wondering why the apostles are so surprised. Why do you stand looking into heaven, they ask. For the apostles, there should be nothing surprising about what has just taken place. This is what they've known is going to happen this whole time. Jesus has been telling them this is what's going to take place for years. I think that what we see here in the minds of the apostles is that their belief in Jesus is changing from an understanding to an experience. It's changing from an understanding to an experience. It's one thing to hear an account of an event and believe that it's true, but it's another to have experienced that event firsthand. I want to consider for just a moment how we as human beings, at least for me, learn from our mistakes. If we were wise, we would be able to learn from the mistakes of others, maybe by listening to our parents or learning from our mentors, or even by studying and preserving history. But more often than not, we have to feel the pain for ourselves before we really learn, right? Here's an example that I share often, one where the lesson was learned firsthand, literally. You'll get that joke in a moment. Any of you might know that I have a twin brother. His name's Ethan. In appearance, we are what I would describe as very fraternal. We're absolutely different in every way. Skin tone, hair color, height, you name it. But as we were growing up, we were identical in a lot of ways. We always had to do what the other one was doing, even if it meant making the exact same mistakes that the other one had just made. There was one morning where we were in elementary school, maybe it was fourth or fifth grade, and my mom was making pancakes on a large pancake griddle on the counter. Now, if you're a parent, you probably already hopped to the end of the story. Well, I walked into the kitchen, and my mom had her back turned to the griddle. She had told us before to be careful because the griddle was hot, and we might get burned. Well, I was obviously curious how hot the griddle really was, and I planted my hand right on the griddle next to the pancakes. Obviously, I screamed out in pain as I had just burned my hand, and my mom saw me, and she was trying to console me and ease the pain. That's when Ethan comes in. He, too, hears my screaming and comes running. He says, what's wrong with Caleb? He asks. And my mom, he tells him my hand really hurts because I just put my hand on the griddle. You see, Ethan, the griddle's really hot, and it can burn you if you're not careful. Ethan walks over to the griddle. While I continue to scream and my mom continues to console me, and he says, you mean like this? And just like me, he plants his hand on the griddle, only to experience, as you could probably guess, the exact same pain that I just experienced. My mom now has to take care of both of us. We're both in pain, screaming and crying. If only she would have told us how hot the griddle really was. We'll come back to my brother and I screaming with our burnt hands later, I promise. But it's one thing to hear the truth. It's another to experience it firsthand. In the opening chapters of Acts, we see the apostles literally transitioning from hearing the good news about Jesus to doing the good news about Jesus. What takes what takes place after the ascensions is that these apostles who were with Jesus in his life, they were with him in his death, they were with him again in the resurrection, they continue to obey the word of Jesus. And they wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit as instructed. And at the beginning of chapter 2, the Spirit comes to them as tongues of fire in an upper room, and they began to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the Christ to all people in all different languages. It's an amazing scene. The people who are hearing them, they are astounded and perplexed and amazed. Now, we might expect the apostles to experience this type of transformation. After all, they were with Jesus the whole time. Surely they would respond to the truth in such an amazing way. But what about those who didn't? What about those who were Jesus' enemies in his life? What about those who actually put Jesus on the cross? How would they respond to the truth? Let's keep reading in Acts chapter 2. After the coming of the Holy Spirit, Peter and the others began to share the truth with all those who were listening. Starting in verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, losing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it." What happens here is Peter cites from the Old Testament prophets and from other Old Testament themes like Joel chapter 2 and from Psalms to emphasize who Jesus is. He is who he said he was all along. And you and I might know it, but the people who are listening still aren't completely convinced. How are the people going to respond to this news? He continues in verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made Jesus both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" The apostles were not only eyewitnesses to the truth that Jesus is the Son of God, they were also eyewitnesses to the type of transformation that happens when other people learn that Jesus is the Son of God. "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who were far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourself from this crooked generation." And those who received his words were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. And in the following verses, we get a beautiful image of what was happening in that community of believers, people who had been transformed by the truth. It's amazing, truly amazing, that these people that literally killed Jesus would not only hear the truth, but they would welcome it, and they would experience it firsthand and go on to share it. It's no wonder that in Acts chapter 4, as we read last week, when Peter and John are charged to keep silent about Jesus, charged to keep silent about the resurrection, their response is, "We cannot but speak about what we've seen and what we've heard." Because the truth of Jesus was at work in their lives, and it was at work in the lives of people who were hearing it. They had certainly seen and heard something worth sharing. They had certainly seen how others were transformed by the news of Jesus. Like the apostles, as I said earlier, if we're baptized believers, we've seen and heard something that's worth sharing. But what are we doing with it? Are we being responsible eyewitnesses? Because it's one thing to just be a hearer of the truth, but it's another to have experienced it and be compelled to share it. We can't help but share what we've seen and what we've heard. You remember the story I told of Ian, my brother? I was the first one who made the mistake of putting my hand on the griddle. And Ethan couldn't learn from my mistake. Instead, he had to experience it for himself before he could fully understand. It might be easy to hear that story and look at Ethan and say, man, he should have known better. But if I'm really honest with myself, and instead Ethan was the first person who had his hand on the griddle instead of me, I'm sure I would have done the same thing. Because the truth is, if we're all honest with ourselves, we have a hard time learning from other people's mistakes. We have a hard time learning until we've experienced it firsthand. There are so many Christians who have heard the truth. They've even been baptized and they've been attending churches for many years, but it stops there at hearing. What will it take for Christians to be convinced, to be compelled in the same way that Peter and John were, that they couldn't help but share what they'd seen and what they'd heard? What will it take for you and for I, you and for me, to be so compelled by the truth of the gospel that it really does transform our lives? Are you going to wait until you burn your hand? Or can we learn from the examples of the apostles as we're going to continue to look at what was happening in the book of Acts? Are we going to learn from the examples of the people who literally put Jesus on the cross and who were later transformed by the truth, the very Christians who have come before us? Are we going to be able to learn from them in order to start taking our faith seriously? Our country is changing, our cities are changing, and our communities are changing. And if Christians aren't careful, the church will change with our culture too. Like the Jewish leaders in Acts chapter 4, our culture is begging, pleading us, in order that it may spread no further, for Christians to not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And if we keep carrying on like business is as usual, then we're giving in to that request. Brothers and sisters, we have to place the truth of Jesus at the center of our marriages, at the center of our families, and at the center of our lives. No one can do it for you. The church needs people who are willing, who are convicted to be transformed by the gospel, not just Christians who are willing to listen to the gospel. And if you're waiting for your hand on the griddle moment, that moment, a pivotal point in your life where something's going to change and you're going to get serious about your faith, you might be waiting too long. And that moment might never come. Again, from 1 John chapter 1, as was read earlier in our service, that which was from the beginning, the truth of God, the word of life, we have heard it with our own ears, and we've seen it with our own eyes. We've looked upon it, we've touched it with our hands. And that word was made manifest in Jesus of Nazareth, whom we proclaim as bringing eternal life. This Jesus was with the Father, and he dwelt among us, so that we too could have fellowship with him. Indeed, our fellowship, if we're Christians, is with the Son and with the Father. This morning, do you really believe what you've seen and what you've heard? Do you really believe that you have witnessed something that's worth sharing? In a moment, I'm going to offer an invitation to those who have not yet responded to the truth, and to those who are Christians but need prayers of the church. But I hope you know this. The invitation to respond to the gospel does not stop at the close of the invitation song. The invitation to experience the truth, to transform your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, to make the church and to make Christ and to make God the Father a priority in your life, that invitation remains open. The elders and the ministers here at this church are always ready to pray with you and to study with you to help you do what you can to equip you into ministry, in the ministry of your lives and in the ministries here at this church. Truly, we have seen something that's worth sharing, but are we willing to share it? Are we willing to be a witness? That's a big responsibility, and we're going to talk more about that throughout the year. But like those in Acts chapter 2, if you've never responded to the gospel and you've heard this news that Jesus, who was crucified, is Christ, you might be asking, brothers, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have responded to the gospel and you are a baptized believer, but you've let your faith become a footnote in your life instead of the focus. Maybe it's because you have sin that's present in your life right now, or maybe you're just tired, and maybe you're just worn out. We'd love to pray with you this morning. No matter how far off you've been, the truth remains the same. Our God loves us, and the Word became manifest so that we could be with Him. If you have a need, whether it's here in person or on Facebook, whatever it is, make that request known as we stand and as we sing together.